It's 2020. Happy New Year already.
2021.
Shoot. I already got it wrong. Yeah, it's 2021. So, whole new joke, Jason. I think Jimmy died in 2020. He didn't make it. What do you think?
Well, I was going to bring that up. No, you're right. He didn't make it.
He didn't.
It's over. We are recording now. We'll go with this. This is a conversational podcast, so we'll have a conversational intro into the new year. We'll just flow into the new year, Chris. I think the Jimmy fans are very passionate, but I think the Jimmy fans are few and far between.
That's probably true.
So I've realized that. It took me a year to realize it, and we're going to let it, with hopefully many other things, rest with 2020 and move on. So
it's already different.
You heard Jimmy for the last time. If you want to go back, we've got our plenty of old episodes. But we're moving on. 2021. Happy New Year, Chris.
Happy New Year, Jason.
This is 2021, and we'll still do the yes. So hey, everybody. Yes, welcome back.
Wow, it is different. Whole new year.
That's how we're going into this year. Yeah, okay. That's how we're rolling in.
All right.
Welcome back to the podcast, and welcome to a brand new year, of the Paid Search Podcast. Chris, how are you feeling about this new year?
Remember that slogan, new year, new me? Remember how annoying that was? I think that was like 2019 or something like that. I have a slogan for this one. New year, same me. I don't change. That's it.
I like it.
Yep.
We sound like two guys who are trying to pretend it's a new year, but are obviously recording this on December 29th.
So. You ruined the whole illusion, Jason.
Oh, wait, come on. The ball hasn't dropped. We're not in the new year yet, but the show is. So thanks for being here, everybody. Different year, but the same great quality Google Ads content, Chris. Chris, we have a very interesting episode today. It's kind of a secret. We're giving away a big secret for business owners specifically. And if they can get this concept, they can master Google Ads and become Google Ads experts. And it really is just kind of a mindset thing, but it actually leads to real world Google Ads work that you do and the way you think about your account and the work you do inside of your account. Very common mistake we see. Very much looking forward to getting your thoughts on it, Chris. And seeing what you think about this topic. And then we'll have also a review of the week, which we haven't done in a few weeks. But before that, you're going to tell us about Opteo, and then we're going to jump into this episode.
If you want the smarter way to manage your Google Ads account, I want to introduce you to Opteo. Opteo is an online software that you log into. You can leave the Google Ads login aside. You know, you can open it up in a new tab, and this whole new interface has a completely different screen. All the data is imported from Google Ads, and you get to see all of your data in a new way. New charts, graphs, and they're all customized. They're all designed to help you make faster decisions. Okay, you're listening to this podcast because you want to be an informed Google Ads manager, whether it's your own account, whether you're a freelancer working for multiple accounts, or you're working in-house for your employer. It's a big account, spending tens of thousands or just hundreds of dollars a month. It doesn't matter. This is the tool for you. It's very affordably priced. It scales as you scale. I'll tell you what is the best type of scale: free. That's what they're offering, is an 8-week free trial. Get 2021 off to the right way with Opteo. Go to opteo.com/PSP2. That's the number 2. That's opteo.com/PSP2. Use the chat box down in the bottom right. Tell them you heard about it right here on the Paid Search Podcast, and you get an 8-week free trial. That's more than any of those other guys out there, because you're special. We're all special. It's 2021. It's the year of special. Jason.
Thanks, Chris. So I want to read this week's 5-star review of the week from Nick in Norway. And 5 stars, Apple Podcasts. He says, love it. Best podcast in the marketing space.
Oh, marketing.
Like hearing that.
Nice.
Yeah. 70% marketing, 30% comedy. Balanced perfectly.
Nice.
And they said, Jason, you're the man.
What? No. He listens. He actually does listen, because he did what you said, because he followed your instructions and you read it. So there you go. He got what he wanted and you got what you wanted. Nicely done.
So yeah, we got a nice little podcast here going, Chris. It's 2021. I think we started this, I think, in 2016.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So
happy anniversary. I don't, whenever
coming
we started.
Coming up on our 5 year.
I think we started in the summer. Yeah, summer or spring or something. Yeah. Wow.
Did it, has it blossomed into everything you would want it to be, Chris?
I
is it good for you?
I just wanted someone to talk to, you know? That's all I wanted. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been more.
And you tried with other people and got rejected.
I did.
A lot of people don't know that.
I was like, yeah. I contacted other people and I was told like, or just not replied to or treated like a creep. You know, like, what the heck? Leave me alone. Or you're going to steal all my ideas, you know? And I'm like, no, wait. I don't want your ideas. I just want to talk. I want to know if I'm alone out there in the universe of Google Ads management. And so I just decided to share it with the world.
Chris, you were older when we started. You're older than me. And, you know, I think you already had one of your children then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Married. Mm-hmm. And now you're older than you were, but you're still... Chris, do you feel like I've changed more?
Oh, man.
Just given my age and life circumstances?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the amount of changes we have gone through individually and together, mm-hmm. I liked you from the beginning, but now I know why I liked you because I understand you more. So, yeah, I think so. I think you definitely
feel the same, but I feel like obviously the same person, but I definitely feel different after 5 years, not of just doing this podcast, but 5 years of life, five years in this business and
gotten married. You've brought offspring to the world. It's a lot happened for sure.
Yeah.
Still weird though.
What's weird? Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes, I'll be talking with Cynthia and what's going on in my brain comes out of my mouth instead of the filter.
Yep.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? And I'm like, sorry.
I'm in my own head.
Malfunction. little malfunction. Let me take that back. All right, Chris. Well, we have a topic today. And I'm not trying to oversell it. I'm not trying to oversell anything. But I do think this is a secret to Google Ads success that business owners don't understand. So there's millions of business owners out there. They're on Google Ads. A few of them do great, but many of them struggle and they wonder why they struggle and they wonder why they're so effective in so many other areas of their life, but they get on this platform and they struggle. And I think that struggle comes from all the data and options that they're able to get in an instant. And basically what happens is they internalize too much of their focus on Google Ads. They don't externalize. They don't think about the customer. And because they do that, they make bad Google Ads decisions. So we'll talk about the topics, but whether it's things like ad positionings, checking their ads, ad copy, the keywords that some of them select, the landing page experience, the location they target, I have just found, not for every business owner, but for many, they internalize all those decisions and it leads to poor performance. And I have found that you and I have become masters at externalizing and going into any industry and basically becoming a customer of that industry and crafting Google Ads accounts from that perspective.
Yeah.
Because we do that, we get good performance because we're trying to get that performance from the external party, the customer. So this internal versus external business owner internal focus versus what they should be doing, focusing on the customer externally, as one of the greatest Google Ads managers on the planet, does that way of framing this situation make sense to you?
Absolutely. And I'm sure you're going to get into this, but I've always had a theory that the best possible manager is someone internal. The second best possibility is a freelancer. That's my theory. And then third best is an agency. That's always been my thought. I think that's the order of who can get the best work done for you. Beyond all that, the absolute worst manager is the guy doing it for himself and learning it as he goes. That's the absolute worst manager because if he doesn't understand the system, he questions everything. And that's basically what you're going to lay out. All the ways that the business owner questions himself, questions the system, thinks he needs to create some, and that's what we're against here on the show all the time, is shortcuts. He thinks he needs shortcuts. He thinks there has to be some kind of secret. There's a secret. There's secret everywhere. But the secret is what you're going to lay out, essentially. There is no secret. There's a practical approach.
Yeah, there's an approach and a mindset. And for the business owner out there who maybe the way they built up their business is through marketing, through self-promoting, I don't think those people are less likely to have a problem with Google Ads. But a plumber who's awesome at plumbing and the best plumber in the city, and that's how he built up his company, what does he know about marketing and Google Ads? An attorney who does real estate law and does the best real estate law in the county, what do they know about Google Ads? So I think that's sometimes where the issue comes from. We're just going to go through the biggest mistakes that we see that come from this internal mindset, and then we're going to give solutions for how you can take this aspect of Google Ads and think about it with an external mindset, focusing on the customer. So the first topic, Chris, is ad positioning. And the mistake is the internal focus. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to expand on these mistakes. How often do you see them? Maybe you don't see them. Maybe it's just what I've seen. We'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about the correct way to look at this issue. So the topic of ad positioning, the biggest mistake that I see in this area is people either through the preview tool or through Google searches themselves, they're constantly Googling themselves, searching for their own ad, and then coming up with problems based on that. I see myself when I shouldn't see myself because I did a search and I shouldn't be showing up. Mm-hmm. I don't see my ad. Why am I not showing up? My position's too low. My position's too high. Have you dealt with business owners that basically Google themselves too much and that leads to issues? Is that a common issue you run into?
Okay, so good question. I definitely see people doing it, and when they are focused on when their ad is showing up and when it's not showing up, that is the absolute most common way of self-destructing a campaign. I don't think it happens commonly. I don't think that many people do it, but when it becomes an issue, it compounds on itself. So essentially, the person continues to do it. They get hooked on it. They do it different times a day, different devices, different locations. You know, they'll be out and about in the car and they'll search. They'll be at home on a laptop. They'll search. They want to see all the different ways it shows up, and they're obsessed with it. And when it becomes a problem, they self-destruct their campaign. They make decisions based on the results that they are individually seeing. And that's
I think the problem. That's fair, Chris, to say that it's not every business owner. It's maybe not common. But the only pushback I would have is if you're running great B2C local campaigns and then you're for clients and then you're running national B2B campaigns as well a lot, you're not going to get run into this as much with the national B2B campaigns because people understand they have a small budget compared to the market.
That's true.
But if your primary client base, like for myself, is local B2C businesses, and the only place we run is their area, and the budget is, I don't know, 70-80% search impression share, so they're showing up a lot of the time, or they should be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunities for people to Google themselves, and where I will definitely agree with you is, or where, not, I shouldn't say agree, but where I've had the same experience with you is, yeah, a lot of people do this. For a lot of people, it's not the biggest problem. Like you and I, I'm sure we do it ourselves. We look for the ads. It just happens sometimes. Yes, it adds one extra impression and hurts your click-through rate, but it's just human nature. It's too easy to Google search sometimes. But when it is a problem, it's a problem. It's kind of like basically alcohol in that regard. Like tens of millions of people drink alcohol all the time, and then a small percentage have a really, really big problem with it.
Yeah,
I have found the same with Google searches on your own name.
Yeah,
pretty much a lot of people do it, but when it's a problem, it's like a real problem.
Searchaholic.
And that's not an exaggeration. That's what it should be called, because people really can't control their behavior and they can't stop the compulsion of searching for themselves. And then when they do that, that translates into energy and decisions inside the Google Ads account.
There you go.
And can you kind of speak to how that ruins things? Like, I don't see my ad. I'm going to call up my manager and say, I don't see my ad on a Tuesday at 1 p.m., why would that lead to a bad decision?
I mean, there's several reasons why that lead to a bad decision. Number one is they're going to be looking at several factors of, did I show up or did I not show up? Number one, if they did show up, then okay, maybe they say, you know, pass, and they don't send that email. But if they didn't show up, okay, what did I search for? Bad decision about whether you want to add exact match keywords or up the bids artificially because you didn't see it. Next, what competitor showed up next to me? Maybe you showed up in a certain position and someone's above you, and that competitor really rubs you raw, and you really hate how that one shows above you. You're going to make bad decisions about artificially pushing bids up because you saw that one competitor. So yeah, I mean, it leads to bad decisions because the only information you have is a keyhole into a mound of data. It's a mountain of data, and you're looking through this little keyhole, and you said, oh, I see a problem there, and I'm going to boost bids on a multi-$1,000 keyword because of one little impression that I saw. It's awful.
And you're distorted because it's coming from your IP address.
Yep.
And my theory is, if Google sees an IP address searching for a keyword thousands of times a year and never clicking, I think they're going to treat that IP address differently than the average user. Yep. Because that's going to weigh down people's click-through rates, and they'll show ads differently to them, less often to them. But even from the preview tool, it's still one search out of many. So I don't even go off of that.
Yeah.
Another factor, Chris, why this causes problems, nobody handles pressure in Google Ads accounts better than I do. I handle pressure, and it doesn't faze me, and I'm able to get people great performance. But even me, who's the greatest on the planet, I do get affected from time to time when clients ping me. Mm. So when clients put pressure out there in the universe on me saying, I don't see my ad, why is it slow today, we look too low, that kind of stuff, a lot of the time I'm able to handle that pressure, again, better than anybody on the planet, but sometimes I don't handle that pressure, and sometimes it causes me to make decisions inside the Google Ads account at that moment mm-hmm. that I would not make for performance reasons
yep.
if I was kind of left to my own devices to do a great job. So it really does affect the manager as well. And Chris, I can only imagine what it's like to be working in-house as a Google Ads expert, feeling that pressure.
Pulling you into a meeting.
In the room. Yeah, in the room.
That's really true. I used to work in-house, and it's hard to have a meeting with like three bosses. You know, the principals are in the office, the owner and the CEO and everybody. And they're like, okay, we're going to come up with a whole new plan, and we want you to build this new campaign for us. How do you tell them no? You can't. So you have to do it. You know, it's very difficult to approach it logically when they're staring you in the face, and you can't just tell them, let me think about that. You know, or you can't just kind of push them off. So yeah, it's a big deal. One thing I want to say, I know what we're going to talk about in our Patreon discussion afterwards, and I just want to mention, I have something to say about my personal experience with failure because of pressure. So if this is speaking to you as someone who manages accounts and you see bad performance, I'll share a note about my horrible pressure response just a few weeks ago with my account.
Okay, great. I made a note on that, so we'll definitely be talking about that. Now, Chris, when you are dealing with a searchaholic, when you're dealing with a business owner who is causing distortions because of their own internal experience with their Google Ads, ad positioning and where they show and all that kind of stuff and how often, like, we're trying to help people here. So the solution to that, the way you and I think about it, the way you think, put yourself in the customer's shoes in this regard. The way I handle this, Chris, from an external perspective, is anytime someone's telling me about their unique experience with Google Ads, where they saw the ad, they didn't see the ad, it didn't show up, blah, 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 I basically go down this path. Number one, that doesn't matter. And you got to be careful about the way you word that because you don't want to offend anybody. But right. I'm speaking about and not to someone right now or to people. So I wouldn't word it that way speaking to a business owner, but that's how my kind of mindset is. No, it doesn't matter. So we have to figure out a way to kind of massage that language and say it in a nice way.
Yeah.
That's a different topic. But in terms of mattering or not, no, it just doesn't matter. Your one experience with Google Ads. So what does matter is the overall pie, the overall numbers. So when positioning or I didn't see my ad or budget issues, when that stuff comes up, I just go back to cost per conversion, cost per acquisition. I use those interchangeably. So what's your cost per acquisition goal? What do you want your cost per acquired lead or client to be?
Yep.
What is your actual cost per acquisition? And then let that data control your bids and your budget decisions. So if you're hitting your cost per acquisition goal and you're actually under it and you could be more aggressive and you have budget left over to spend, raise your bids, get more leads overall, and get closer to your goal cost per acquisition because you're under it now. If you're not profitable and you're above your target cost per acquisition and you are spending your full budget, lower the bids and let that guide you. And it doesn't matter where you show up position-wise. It doesn't matter how often you show up. If you see your ad, what matters is the cost per acquisition numbers, the goal, what you're actually getting, and then making decisions based on that. Do you think that's a good way to redirect energy when you get those kind of searchaholics? Does that make sense to you? And is there anything else to do? That's the only thing I can come up with.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've talked about this before. I totally agree with that approach. And I think in our patron, I'll give you guys a hint of what we talk about on our patron group. But one of the things I do for clients that get so distracted with these small things is I throw a ton of data at them. I explain, oh, okay, you want to talk about impressions? And I start throwing absolute top percentage, search impression share, auction insights, click-through rate, position top percentages, all kinds of things that they're kind of like, oh, well, you know, when you throw that kind of stuff out on the table, I kind of lost focus on that little thing that I was talking about, you know?
Well, because it is a little thing.
Yeah, it's your puts it in perspective.
With Google Ads. It's your view of it, not the overall. And this episode's about the customer focus and changing it from internal to external. And so a lot of the examples we'll go through later in the episode are very much like, okay, think about the customer, put yourself in their shoes. This one is more of an overall customer perspective. So change your perspective from your internal position, looking at Google Ads from your own eyes and seeing only what you see, and change that to the overall customer perspective, which is told to you through the data inside your Google Ads account in an overall way.
Yeah.
The question is, will you listen to them through that data? Yes.
That's the real question.
Oh, what a great time. We should take more breaks on the show, Chris, and have like music where we come back in, because I could, okay. That just be great. But no, it's a podcast.
Yeah,
we just keep going. Like, keep going. I want to do radio. I started this
commercial break
in radio, Chris. In radio, we could take breaks. We could talk between segments. Mm-hmm. We gave the audience a break, but no, now we just pound them, Chris. Just rolling right into the next.
We do this show
here.
Like it's live, even though it's not. So yeah, we just keep going.
You're right. Maybe that's our choice.
Yeah. I don't know why.
All right. Maybe that's 2021. Next episode, we'll just hit you with some nice soft jazz music in between segments.
2021 year of the soft jazz interludes. We could do that. That'd be calming.
Or I could just go clear my throat and go, all right, Chris.
there we go.
Next topic here. Now it sounds like a podcast. Okay, Chris. Ad copy. Mm. That is the next topic. The mistake is that business owners are internally focused and they basically pick out and force bad ad copy on their manager. And the reason it's bad ad copy is because either A, they look at what other people are doing on Google searches and they just copy everybody and they have the same ad as everybody else, or B, they pick out way too much insider stuff that they care about that their customers don't necessarily care about. So that's a problem. Do you run into that?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when it comes to people who, you know, are like self-starter kind of, you know, they started from the ground and they're working their way up. You know, they're the kind of person who manages every aspect of the campaign. They built this from the ground. You know, it's some kind of little pet project that turned into, you know, a 30 employee kind of LLC kind of thing. And They're invested and they go to every client meeting or, you know, they go to every investor meeting and they have a 40 slide deck that they make everyone sit through, you know, and they're going to throw out these obscure numbers and references that in an ad makes no sense. Most of the time, my suggestion is if you find yourself doing that, just put it on the landing page. Put it on the landing page. Most of the time, that does not make sense. If you can't say it in 30 characters and it be a complete thought in a 30-character headline, and you find yourself putting it in all three headlines to make it, you know, make full sense, or putting it in a description, it doesn't belong there. And don't try and shorten it with abbreviations that nobody uses but you. You know, don't, it's not going to make sense. Google's going to hate it. They're going to hurt you with quality score, and you're overanalyzing your ad copy.
See, that's a problem. If you're making a television commercial and you have a minute, or you're making up some kind of advertisement where you're in full control and really not getting that much feedback on it, you can go with your gut. You can just put stuff out there and think it's working. A couple problems with doing that with the Google Ads copy. Number one is we get real data on it.
Yeah.
And we get
feedback.
Data fast.
Votes. People literally vote by clicking. That's what they're doing.
And we're able to see that. And one of the problems is a Google Ads person who's been doing it for years, they understand the consequences of a low click-through rate and all that kind of stuff. And a business owner who's not into Google Ads, they might not understand that consequence of 10 clicks over 1,000 search impressions and how that's distorting the overall account and hurting your quality score. So we get real data. The second problem with kind of forcing bad ad copy on Google Ads is it's not just bad ad copy. It affects the account because number one, you have the human issue to deal with, people wanting to click on the ads. But then the second reason, you also have to deal with the quality score and the machine and whether the machine likes it or not.
Yep.
And you and I know how to balance those things and test those things. And I think it's hard for a lot of business owners to get that. So just kind of a mindset thing, Chris, in terms of trying to come up with good ad copy if you're a business owner managing your own account, trying to think externally like customers. Forget your industry for a minute. Just totally forget your industry. Think about a need you have, divorce lawyer, just throwing that out there, landscaper, plumber, whatever need they have in their own life at this moment. Mm-hmm. Do a Google search for that and search like as if you actually want to find a provider, because make sure it's a service you actually need right now. Do a search. Say you have a toilet that's just like leaking a little and you know you need to get that fixed, but it's kind of been down on your list. Actually go do it. Search plumbers and then your city name or plumbers near me. Look at the ads and then determine which ones you glaze over and which ones actually catch your eye and make you want to click. And I think doing that exercise in a different industry will help you come up with customer-focused, externally focused ad copy that actually makes people want to click. Because if you do it on your own industry first, you're too in it to be external. But if you focus on another industry first that you actually have a need for at that moment, you'll feel what makes you on a Google, not on a TV ad, not on a magazine print ad, but in our world, the Google ad search makes you want to actually click on that ad. The reason I came up with that process, Chris, is because that's what you and I do every day when we work for new clients.
Yep.
We go into their industry and do Google searches as if we're customers because we're not from that business. And we get that external focus and we look at other people's ads and goes, okay, that actually made me want to click. Oh, that ad in position one, I didn't even see it. I glazed over it because it's horrible ad copy. Why is it horrible? And then we take those lessons and apply it to our account. Does that process kind of make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love the idea of looking at something that takes you outside of your comfort zone. You know, and you were mentioning plumbers, you know, to illustrate the opposite of your point. Look for things. If you were to see a plumber, you know, get my toilet fixed, and you saw a plumber ad that said, we use stainless steel 16 gauge American made pipes. What? You know, that's a bad ad.
Or some insider industry that you've been certified in the plumbing industry that we've never heard of that acronym.
Yeah. Or are putting their license number in the headline, you know, like,
right.
So what? Everyone's licensed, you know, it's on every truck that passes, you know, there's a license number on
right.
there. You know, I assume that I'm contacting a licensed plumber. You know, it's pretty much a understood thing. You know, that kind of stuff. It's like, that's not their pain point. So yeah, I think that's a
pain point. That's it, Chris. Pain point. And if you're the business owner, you don't have pain because you don't have a need for that mm-hmm. service right now. You have to understand the customers and how they look at Google searches. It's always to solve problems and solve them fast. Quick little example that some agencies run into a problem with. Everyone uses the same ad copy as everyone else.
Oh yeah.
So if I have a need for a barbecue grill, which I did recently, and I do a search barbecue grills, Oklahoma City, everyone's ad copy said gas and charcoal, great prices, call now. Like, because agencies are making these ads, but I have different needs. I know you have gas and charcoal. Everybody who sells grills does. I know you say you have great prices. Everybody's going to say that. But if an ad said gas and charcoal, all major brands in stock, ready for delivery and install today, that would hit my pain point. I want to knock this off my list. I want to know you have it in stock. That would make me actually want to click on an ad and spend some time to look at your site and call in. So put yourself in the customer's shoes, search from a different industry, and kind of take lessons on what makes you glaze over and you ignore and what makes you actually want to click and stick on a website. So, Chris, keywords, and then after keywords, Chris, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk about landing page experience at the end. But with keywords, I think the biggest internal problem is that there are just too many, I'll just say the word dumb, super granular, long tail keywords that business owners want to throw in their account. This causes major problems in a Google Ads account, but how often do you run into that? With that internal focus.
I try not to rage type whenever someone says things like, hey, what do you think about redoing our strategy so we focus more on long tail keywords? I did a meeting with someone and they said, oh, I looked at your Google Ads account and you need more long tail keywords. Let me explain when long tail keywords are appropriate.
Chris, try not to rage. You said you're going to try not to rage.
Real quick.
If you need to rage a little. I'm going to make you feel better.
Hey, you get to lay on the couch all the time and just let, I want to feel better this time.
Okay. You're right. Good point.
Long tail keywords are appropriate when people are searching long tail, right? Long tail keywords don't exist whenever the industry does not designate long tail. Let's say barbecue grills, right? Maybe you're advertising barbecue grills. If people are just typing, 80% of the searches are barbecue grills, shops, or people that make barbecue grills or buy barbecue grill and stuff like that. Gas barbecue grill, charcoal barbecue grill. That's, that might be the extent of it. You can't generate long tail search keywords and still spend your budget if they don't exist. So that's where I think a lot of this bad advice comes from. You cannot designate things for your keywords and make decisions on your keywords just because you think this strategy is good. You need to go super granular or super long tail type of stuff. If it doesn't fit for you, there are industries where I run keywords that have 4, 5, 6 words in every single search, and it's wonderful, but it fits.
Yeah, but you don't run those keywords. You run pure broad keywords that find those keywords.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't have those all in exact match. I didn't spend 24,000 hours coming up with all these different variations, and I have a million keywords in this account. I started off with a few.
Just to get 97% of them blocked is low search volume, right. And you don't even get data on them.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a meaningless
That's a real
strategy.
Thing. People don't understand that's a real thing.
Yeah.
For long tail keywords that are not searched enough, Google will put low search volume as a status, and you will not get you will not get impressions or clicks or anything on those keywords. Even if someone searches for it, they'll show it to people who are targeting more higher volume, broad and phrase match keywords that pick them up, as opposed to you forcing it in there and trying to get data on it. So, Chris, I was thinking about this last night. Business owners, when it comes to Google Ads, they got to be externally focused. Think like a customer. Well, what have customers done on Google search? We've done what Google has told us to do, and Google has molded us to do. We all think we're individuals, blah, 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 but we're all very influenced. We're all able to be influenced, and we've been influenced by the auto search. And instead of doing our little one-off searches and we're all little snowflakes and unique, no, we just do what the autofill does 90% of the time or whatever. And it's because of the autofill, because we're kind of trained to now search near me and those kind of words, we all end up searching the same things the majority of the time. I was thinking about this, Chris, if you're Google, because it's always good to, from our perspective, to put yourself in Google's perspective to try to understand the platform better. Mm-hmm. But what would be better than instead of everybody searching tons and tons of long tail to get everyone to search the same kind of keywords to have more competition on those keywords? That made sense to me from a business perspective. And then managing your business cost and the data and all that kind of servers and all that kind of stuff. This is why I think they hit people with low search volume status keywords, because they don't want to manage the data for gazillions of keyword searches that don't get searched for very often, but they're being asked to provide a little bit of data on each one. That costs money to do that. So I think them forcing people to kind of search the same stuff over and over helps keep memory costs down and stuff like that. So that's the way it is, and you just have to accept that. So the way I would be externally focused is I would accept that the majority of my traffic is going to come from a handful of the same kind of keywords that Google suggests to people. That's where the traffic's going to come from. Because that's where the volume is, that's where your leads are going to come from. So I would just accept that instead of trying to game it with super long tail stuff.
Game.
Accept that and then craft some great ad copy and focus on getting your quality scores up and get your cost per conversion down. And people may say that's hard, blah, 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 but we talked about it last week. We've been in accounts with simple keyword structures that have great quality scores. They play the game by the rules and they get rewarded for it. And then if you want to go long tail, Chris, the way I describe it to business owners is forget long tail and stuff like that. Just try to find areas of your business that customers are searching for. It's a little bit lower volume areas, but it's not long tail. It's just different services that are going to be less likely to have some nerd at an agency targeting as well, and they're less competitive. So example, in the moving space, every agency person is going to do the word movers near me. It's going to be competitive, work on your ad copy, get your quality scores up, but they're not going to understand that 3% of a moving company's moves every month come from nursing home moves, assisted living moves.
Oh, wow.
And with just four keywords, Chris, assisted living movers, phrase match, assisting living moving companies, phrase match, nursing home movers, nursing home moving companies, all phrase match.
Wow.
You can find a lower volume topic that's less competitive because people in the industry don't know about it, or people outside the industry don't know about a low volume topic working in an agency. You can get lower cost per click, lower cost per lead and all that because it's less competitive, but you don't have to fight against the system and try to game it with long tail. I just did four keywords, and those four keywords are all you need basically. So if you have that energy, kind of try to find the services that aren't as popular, but don't go crazy with the keywords. Just keep it simple with the keywords.
I like that. I like that. That's a great example. Well, if you guys want to get better at Google Ads, I have to recommend opto.com/PSP2. 8-week free trial. And you've heard us talk about it a long time. It's because we believe in it. We like it. And they continue to support us because as people discover this podcast, they discover Opto. If you search for Google Ads software on Google, you'll see a lot of ads. So it's a pretty busy marketplace. But this is the software that we recommend. It's designed, and I say this all the time, but here's what I like about it. It's designed to help you make decisions. It doesn't make decisions for you. There are other softwares out there that are just a push button, turnkey type of thing. Here, let our software manage your account for you. I don't like that. We don't preach that on here. And so we wouldn't advertise a software that does that. And that is what Opto is all about, is letting you make the best decision. So opteo.com/PSP2 to get an 8-week free trial. Use the chat in the bottom right. Let them know you heard about the show on the Paid Search Podcast. Landing pages.
Yeah, landing page experience here. Cue the soft jazz music between segments. Take a sip of my latte. Get my glasses, set them down on the table, fold them.
Yeah.
Pull out my pencil.
Silence.
Well, I think
there's a lot of depth to silence on audio. You feel that? It was just so pregnant with like possibility. You could feel us think.
Chris, I'm trying to become many things in 2021 and throughout the rest of my life. Play many roles in my life. And just things I want to accomplish with my life. And one of them, I want to be a great podcaster. But you know what I wrote down in terms of describing that and labeling that in my life? I want to be an American radio host. That's what I want to be. That's in my mind what a great podcaster is.
Oh.
You know,
just that.
Well, we're just saying radio, it's different. It's radio. It's back in the day. And that's what I'm going to try to do more of this year.
To like sound, with
those pregnant pauses and those kind of things, yeah.
To sound like a radio.
And the energy. Host. I've heard radio hosts they lift weights before their show cuz they get pumped up cuz it's an art form.
Oh.
It's not just a podcast, you know. So.
Wow.
Landing page experience, Chris. What's the internal focus? The internal focus are bells and whistles. I wonder how much of our language and use of common phrases, bells and whistles, we all Americans know what that is. It means fluff, stuff you don't need, extra stuff. How many people in Norway, you know, or the Philippines or New Zealand know what? Do you guys say bells and whistles as well? I don't know.
Yeah.
I wonder how much
all
of that
the bells and whistles
gets lost on
that's
our
an
audience.
American saying. I would assume we claim it.
What bells do you see on this page?
Why do you put the bells on your?
I am looking for bells. I no see bells. All right, landing page experience. Oh, you know what's weird, Chris? Like two or three episodes ago, I don't know if it was a German accent or a Russian or some. I did or a British accent, but I did some kind of accent.
Mm-hmm.
Intermittently throughout the episode, but only like a few words at a time. I never brought it up. I never pointed it out. And it probably wasn't even very good. And so sometimes it didn't even seem like I was doing it. I remember you looking at me through that episode sometimes like, what's wrong with you? Like, what's he doing? But I thought that was kind of a funny thing I did a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I love your impressions. So I'm never going to complain. I can't do them. So. Please.
I'm just a little nervous on the Australian impression because I got so good at it and I got so big down there. I just don't want to offend them.
Oh, I don't. I mean, if I flew 24 hours and punched an Australian in the face, I still don't think they would be that upset. They'd be like, "Oh, I can't even do it. I can't even do an accent of them." However they talk, like, "You just flew 24 hours and punched me in the face. Wow, mate." You must really like me. I don't know. You know, I don't think they're going to be offended.
What a horrible reputation you would have if you did that down there. Like, you American man flies 24 hours,
just
punches Australian in the face, gets arrested, gets kicked out of country. All right, Chris, landing page experience. Bells and whistles, sold down a river. That's another, I guess, saying. And too cool for school. These are all.
You actually wrote these out. That's what's hilarious. Like you went through every.
I was going hardcore on the sayings. Yeah. So that's what's wrong with landing pages from an internal focus, Chris. The bells and whistles, sold down a river, being sold down a river, and then being too cool for school. Okay, so obviously those things are all obvious.
Okay.
So we can move on. No, what does that mean, Chris? Kind of break down what those mean in terms of business owners coming up with a landing page and working that out.
I think landing pages are kind of like opinions, and you know everybody has an opinion, and it's always complex. And you think yours is special, and you think if you could just explain it the right way, if you could just present it the right way, everyone would agree and love it, and would have the same opinion as you. And the fact is, no matter what you say or how you say it, some people are just not going to like it. And I wish I had, you know, $10,000 for every time someone said to me, I don't understand why people aren't converting, you know?
Speaking of sayings, I mean, a lot of people just are okay with getting a penny or a nickel.
I wouldn't make
every
that much.
Every time something happens, but geez, Chris.
The point is
$10,000.
I don't hear it that much, but I do hear it a lot. I'd be a whole lot richer. But I don't understand why people are, how are we getting this great of traffic and people aren't converting? There are so many layers about.
Maybe, I heard that this week.
Yeah. It happens all the time. So the complexity, and you think that, you know, you just add more and more. I'm going to say this. I'm going to have this pop-up come up. I'm going to have this header. I'm going to have this image. I need to have this landing page for this tiny little niche where I get 4 clicks a month. And I have to have a separate campaign because I want to advertise it in this part of the country for 4 clicks, and I have a dedicated page for it. That kind of stuff. That's what we mean. At least that's what I think you mean by bells and whistles, complexities that are not necessary.
And I think a lot of the internal focus comes from greed. So if you can stop being greedy and you put yourself in the customer's shoes when they come to a website, it leads to a totally different landing page or website experience when you stop being greedy. So what's greedy on a landing page, Chris? Pop-ups are greedy. They're greedy.
Yeah.
You're trying to game the system, and that's not, to me, it's not a good user experience. Pressure, BS is greedy, that where people try to make it seem like the page is going away or you only have so much time.
Countdown timers.
Yeah. Countdowns. Yeah, that's greedy. No information is greedy because it's greedy with your time. You're lazy. You didn't fill out a great page. You didn't take time to give people information.
Call me now.
Lazy or stock images are lazy because you didn't take the time to actually get great picture assets of your company. And then finally, super long forms are lazy because you're trying to qualify people with the landing page instead of with your own staff's time on the phone and stuff like that. Doesn't lead to a good customer experience. They're not going to fill out a 20-line form and qualify themselves. It's just not going to work. So what does work, same thing as the ad kind of exercise, ad copy exercise. What I recommend, if you have a real need, you actually need a plumber, whatever you need, do a Google search, find you a plumber, and whether it's organic or ads, however you find the plumber, click on those listings, go to the website, the landing page, what makes you want to click back to Google instantly?
Mm.
And then what makes you alternatively want to stay on a site and actually call a business? Think about that from a perspective of being a customer when you actually are in an industry you actually have a need for that's not your industry. Find a provider and go through this process, but be conscious about the way the landing page or website's making you feel and the way it's guiding your behavior to click back or to stay on the site, gather more information and possibly call in, and just write down what made it a good user experience and then take those kind of concepts and apply it to your own site. What I have found works for me when I actually have a need, real pictures of real people, real pictures of company assets, offices, trucks, uniforms, all that kind of stuff, real testimonials, testimonial videos always kind of are great to me, actual pictures of people in business. I don't want to just see the words since 1990. I like seeing a before picture when you started your business 1995 in your garage to where it is today, 25 years later, stuff like that. Easy to navigate, lots of information for me to get a good idea of who I'm potentially contacting, and then easy ways to navigate around and contact. That's what works for me as a customer. So why wouldn't I want my landing pages that I advertise with or websites I advertise with to do the same for my customers?
Yeah.
So put yourself in the customer role once again. And I think different that'll guide you to a different landing page experience. Because, Chris, how many business owners are going to click on an ad or listing for a service they actually need and then see a one-page squeeze page with a bunch of pressure pops up and stuff like that and stock images and actually convert? Like, they're not going to do it in their own life, so why would they ask their customers to do it?
Absolutely. I totally agree. I totally agree. I think, I've said it before, and it's 2021. It's the year of opinions. And, actually 2020 was a year of opinions. 2021 is a year of being right. And I'm going to be right. And the right answer is landing pages suck. I don't like them.
Wow.
I think they're typically for most people a poor decision. So not for everyone, but for most people. And I'll stick by that. At me.
Well, it's you can say it's a year of being right. 2020 was a year of opinions, but it is your opinion. But you do this in your own life. So how often do you have a need where you go to Google and then end up on a landing page and go, oh yeah, I'm going to fill out this form? Don't they turn you off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I copy the URL. I delete all the crap that's attached at the front or at the end, and then just go to the web page and the main page and look where I'm looking for. Because one thing, just most people probably don't do this, but as a manager or marketer, I know I'm being tracked. And if I fill out that form, some agency somewhere is going to see my name and email and phone number and all that stuff and hear my recorded phone call. So I'm like, screw that. I'm going to go to the webpage and like, I'm not going to have someone hear my recorded phone call because I know that phone number is probably being tracked and it's being recorded. And I'd rather just have a pure, straightforward, organic experience. And I think people will be better for it. I think you're exactly right. Greedy. I think you nailed it right there. Greedy.
And Chris, just to wrap this episode up, this is the secret to Google Ads that business owners don't understand. You gotta, as hard as it is, with all the data you're getting hit at, with all the options you have to see your own ad and try to think, to fool yourself, to believe that's the actual thing that's going on because you see it with your own eyes. It's not the thing that's going on. What's going on with you internally, your own experience of the Google Ads campaign, that's not what's going on. The overall experience is what's going on with the customer. And if you can get yourself to go from being internally focused to being externally focused and craft a Google Ads account that's externally focused on the customer, from the keywords you select to the settings to the ads to the landing page and website, you will have a much better chance at Google Ads success. So, Chris, that's the episode. We're going to jump into Patreon for the after show. Right now.